From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Ruth, chapter 1, verse 14. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Both of them had an affection for Naomi, and therefore set out with her upon her return to the land of Judah. But the hour of test came. Naomi most unselfishly set before each of them the trials which awaited them, and bade them, if they cared for ease and comfort, to return to their Moabitish friends. At first, both of them declared that they would cast in their lot with the Lord's people. But upon still further consideration, Orpah, with much grief and a respectful kiss, left her mother-in-law and her people and her God, and went back to her idolatrous friends, while Ruth, with all her heart, gave herself up to the God of her mother-in-law. It is one thing to love the ways of the Lord when all is fair, and quite another to cleave to them under all discouragements and difficulties. The kiss of outward profession is very cheap and easy, but the practical cleaving to the Lord, which must show itself in holy decision for truth and holiness, is not so small a matter. How stands the case with us? Is our heart fixed upon Jesus? Is the sacrifice bound with cords to the horns of the altar? Have we counted the cost, and are we solemnly ready to suffer all worldly loss for the Master's sake? The after gain will be an abundant recompense, for Egypt's treasures are not to be compared with the glory to be revealed. Orpah is heard of no more. In glorious ease and idolatrous pleasure, her life melts into the gloom of death. But Ruth lives in history and in heaven, for grace has placed her in the noble line from whence sprung the King of Kings. Blessed among women shall those be who for Christ's sake can renounce all. But forgotten, and worse than forgotten, shall be those who in the hour of temptation do violence to conscience and turn back unto the world. Oh, that this morning we may not be content with the form of devotion, which may be no better than Orpah's kiss, but may the Holy Spirit work in us a cleaving of our whole heart to our Lord Jesus.
I wonder.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. In dealing with the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns has been expounding the Eighth Commandment, Thou Shalt Not Steal. Dr. Cairns has stated that the stealing of every conceivable kind is strictly forbidden by God. This prohibition extends both to individual acts of theft or deceit, as well as to employers withholding just wages, or to the state unfairly taking from people or from God. In summing up this commandment, Dr. Cairns will emphasize that the biblical standard goes beyond mere honesty. It is a Christ-like generosity that God desires from His people. This is embodied in a life of giving rather than getting. May the Lord bless His words to our hearts. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
Usury, not in the sense of just interest on money at any in any circumstance, but exorbitant interest. The Hebrew word for usury has the idea of biting. There are various scriptures which I'll not turn to for the sake of time tonight, in Deuteronomy 23:19, for example, and in Proverbs 28:8. You'll find there's a reference to usury. The idea is usually of a poor man coming, a poor brother coming. Now, I'm going to sound outlandish here, but if a poor man comes to you as a Christian, if a poor brother in Christ comes to you as a Christian, and he needs you to lend for the necessities of his life, God says it's a matter, first of all, of law. Second, it's a matter of faith. That you give and you do it without interest. Now, it's a totally different thing if someone is coming to borrow to invest. It's John Calvin who first pointed out the great difference between a poor man borrowing in order to live, to give his wife and family the necessities of life, and another man borrowing in order to invest and make himself richer. The world of difference. The Bible does not outlaw interest, except it be exorbitant interest in the latter case, but it certainly does outlaw all this practice of gouging, loan sharking, taking advantage of the sudden need, especially of the poor and the vulnerable. When you think of this, I used to see men, and of course it was their business. They would go to certain houses. These folks from Northern Ireland will remember this perhaps. And we would say, there's the Provident Check Man. There's a firm that gave money out to poorer people. And they would have an amount of money, and then they could buy the clothes, they could do this, there were certain shops that would sell, and they could buy clothes, they could do all this sort of thing, household goods. But the interest rate would have been 2 or 3 times what a person who could afford to go to a bank would have to pay. And that is gouging. And God says that is theft. All sorts of deceptive trade practices. The Bible mentions a lot of them. Sin, stealing. Then there is one form of stealing. We read that Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Stealing hearts from submission to lawful authority is a breach of the 8th commandment. Satan stole the heart of Eve and then of Adam. That's why we're in the mess we're in today. And Satan has often stolen hearts to set a nation against itself. This is what happened in the day of Absalom's rebellion. He stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And soon you had the nation at war with itself. How often Satan has done that? This country has felt it. Our country has felt it. It's feeling it still. How often Satan has set stolen hearts to set a church against itself or a home against itself. Stealing the hearts of men or women or children from submission to lawful authority is a breach of the 8th commandment. Bribery. Fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery, the scripture says. Bribery breaches this commandment. And of course, stealing from God. Jesus said, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. That's the work of apostasy. They make merchandise of the gospel, and they make merchandise of the people of God. That is a breach of the 8th commandment. But also, so is withholding support of the work of God. Will a man rob God? Malachi 3 asks. Will a man rob God? Will some good, decent, upright, hard-working people who would never think of going into a supermarket and stealing off the shelves, who would be honest enough that if they found that a company had undercharged them by $100 on an item, they would tell them, you've made a mistake? Will people like that rob God? Yet, he says, ye have robbed me. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. In other words, there is a lawful support for the work of God and the gospel. We should give out of love. We should give cheerfully. We should give trusting in our Savior. We should give because of what He has given to us. But on top of all that, there is the weight of law. Will a man rob God? Yes, all too many, even Christians, rob God. So let me summarize. We are not to steal from the poor. And that's true not only of individuals, but of nations. This country has no right whatsoever to maintain its wealth by simply pulverizing third world nations that can't have the economic muscle to stand up for themselves. They're not allowed to steal from the poor. That's the most prevalent form of theft in the world. But neither are you allowed to steal from the rich. How many people think, and I've known people like this, when my employer doesn't pay me what he ought to pay me, so it's okay for me to siphon off a little by the way and make things a little more just and equal. You are not permitted to steal from the rich. In fact, when a case like this would come to law, Exodus 22 verse 3 says, neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. You will not give favorable treatment to a poor man in the cause of justice. And if he's a thief, he's a thief. And deal with him as such. We are not to steal from the state. Render to Caesar, said Jesus, the things that are Caesar's. And to God, the things that are God's. We are not to steal from the state. Equally, the state is not to steal from its citizens. We are not to steal from our employers. We're not to steal from our employees. We're not to steal hearts from God-ordained authority. And we are not to steal from the Lord. That is the prohibition of this text. Now, if I were to leave it there, it would be simply law. But let me finish very briefly by referring to the pattern which this eighth commandment exemplifies. It calls for hard work, it calls for honesty, it calls for true priorities. Various scriptures support that. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wing and fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Set your affections on things above and not on things beneath. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. So those are plain commands. But the biblical pattern is far, far more than this. What's the opposite of stealing? We would say honesty. And that's partially right. But it's only partially right. The biblical antithesis to stealing is not mere honesty, it is Christ-like generosity. It is a life of giving rather than a fixation on getting. I can prove that very simply. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's the opposite to stealing. Christ-like generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. These last Sabbath mornings we have been thinking in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, when a Christian looks at that, what's his response? 1 John 3:16 tells you what the response is. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Here's the opposite of that greedy, grasping, getting spirit. It is a spirit that is moved by the love of God. It is a spirit that is reacting to the grace of God. It is a spirit of giving, even until it hurts, even unto death.
But John adds in verse 17, whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I have known rich men see a brother and a friend in need that threatened their very existence, their lives, their home, their well-being. Who could have taken care of the whole need and never missed it for a second. And who wouldn't even help. Those people never think of themselves as breaking the eighth commandment. But according to my Bible, oh, but this is mine. Just think again. This is God's for you to do with as He says. How can the love of God dwell in a man's heart if he can see a brother in Christ brought to want and poverty and not do that to help him when it's easily within his power to do so? That's not my question. That's the question of the Holy Ghost. And it's a question that goes to the very heart of that man's religion and that puts the question mark of God over whether he knows Christ or not. Most of all, of course, the opposite to stealing is giving ourselves to the Lord. Do you not know, Paul says, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So let's not steal from our Creator. Let's not give either ourselves or our substance grudgingly. But rather, as we look at Him who gave His Son for us, as we look at that Son of God who gave His all for us, let us give ourselves and our substance cheerfully to our God and say, all I am and have, I am and I have for the glory of God and the extension of His kingdom. Remembering this, that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. I finish as I began. Notice, you have all these things that you may abound in every good work. Remember, to do anything less is to be a thief in the sight of God. Thou shalt not steal.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.